This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Good morning. Welcome to Living Real Radio. Your host, John Angotti, along with Greg Walton here in Nashville, Tennessee, on this beautiful July day.
I know. What is it's July. What is today? July 11th?
It's July something.
Something. I lost track.
Yeah. But anyway.
It's Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday. That's right. This is airing on Sunday. And today we have Glenn Thomas, who was with us, who hails from Rhode Island, but now lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and who is an up-and-coming artist writing great stuff. And Glenn is going to be our guest as the Courtyard Concert Series this coming Friday at 7 p.m. here at St. Philip's on July the 16th. So
excellent.
Mark your calendars for that. So welcome, Glenn Thomas.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. And looking forward to the show. It's going to be a great time.
I've known Glenn since, I guess he was in high school, I would say.
That's right. And probably behind the drum kit at that point instead of a...
You might have been behind a drum kit and having a good old time with Glenn's father is Tom Kenzie, who was a composer, artist, and that kind of thing. But Glenn is here in Nashville working on his own material. And so we're going to be playing some of that kind of stuff. And so, Glenn, how's it been going since you came to Nashville from Rhode Island? I mean, the experience of Rhode Island to Nashville, what's that kind of been like?
Yeah, it's been great. I had sort of the idea that Nashville would be very sort of filled with like-minded people taking music as a sort of true profession and not just a side job, which is sort of what I was used to up in Rhode Island. And even more so than I expected, people were instantly friendly and willing to connect me with other writers and musicians. Just the whole community here is so strong and not afraid of transplants or anything like that, but very welcoming. So I think, very quickly, I felt like I was at home here.
If you had to put a style on your music, what would you give it? What kind of style would you say it falls into? What genre?
Yeah, folk, Americana.
When I hear your stuff, I think of an updated version of Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely right with that, with the strings and all that. A little Neverland.
Yeah. Well, he was one of my favorite artists, Dan Fogelberg. Do you have any Dan Fogelberg favorites?
Well, yeah, he's from Champaign, Illinois. Oh, that's where I went to college, at the University of Illinois. Champaign, Urbana.
Okay.
Nice.
And that was his stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Way before me, but.
Gotcha. But Glenn also just finished a show in Rhode Island. How was it going home?
It was nice.
People look at you different now that you're living in Nashville. When you go home, the people like, oh, there's Glenn.
No. Yeah. I think it was like a perfect storm of that and the COVID restrictions lifting. So people I hadn't seen in such a long time. It was, it was really nice to go home and see family and friends. And it was certainly a great show. So, all positive.
Yeah. So you're saying you integrate a lot of strings, cause I think you did a performance where you had a band and a string quartet. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I was on acoustic guitar. I had a slide electric guitar player, upright bass, drums, piano, and a string quartet. I love those classic songwriter records like Randy Newman. You mentioned Fogelberg, they're sort of serving the song in an expansive kind of way.
Now, have you always been in music? Is it something you picked up naturally? Being the son of a musician.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was always, I don't know, as long as I can remember playing something. my dad, you know, showing me stuff on the guitar, the piano, and my mom's a pianist as well. So,
Mary Kay, yeah, it was always, piano?
Yeah, she's good. She is a trained, classical pianist.
Well, I always knew she was the brains in that relationship.
Yeah, that's no, it.
But, yeah. But when you like, you know, I'm such good friends with your dad and know his style, and you're like, taken that and developed your own skills. It's like you're not a clone of your father.
No, definitely
you
know, not. I
mean, you are your own artist with your own spectacular skills. And you know, when you were a kid, the feel and stuff that you had was like so natural. And I would always tell your dad, and he's like, he's got it. He's got the gift, you know? And so to see you come to Nashville now and doing this stuff, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, thank you. That's cool to hear. Yeah, he was always, you know, huge inspiration, and I always really admired his songwriting, and I'm sure so much of that has seeped into my own work.
Yeah, it would almost have to be.
Right.
This now you have two projects out. Is that right?
I have one full album out and then some singles, and I'm working on another record.
What was that? What was the recording that came out about a year ago?
That's called Reassure Me. There's a Window.
You know, was it an experience? Was it a journey? Does it have a theme? You know?
Yeah, they were all sort of, the theme was looking for reassurance and, you know, a variety of ways, personal, career, life, love, all of that. And sort of that's the central theme running through it. And recorded it here when I first got here, and yeah, put it out last year in the middle of the shutdown. So there wasn't really any touring or any kind of live shows behind it, which was honestly fine. It worked out totally great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big, you know, leap of faith, leaving your hometown, you know, jumping into a new area. You got a lot of hopes and dreams. So did you find you were processing a lot of that, you know, with that project?
Yeah, certainly. It was about 50% before leading up to it, knowing I was leaving, and sort of 50% when I first got here, trying to, you know, figure it all out and connect the dots. And yeah, I always found music as the outlet to work through the things that are, you know, personal struggles or whatever with that, you know, it's just easier to work through musically sometimes.
Do you have a tune that you'd say kind of captures the, you know, the, that idea best from that album?
Yeah, probably either the first title, the opening track, All You Can Do, or the actual title track, Reassure Me There's a Window. The lyric is reassure me there's a window that opens wider than this frame, just kind of hoping that there's something beyond your own, perspective at present.
I think that's a good one, you know, for folk, for, you know, from your perspective of coming here, I think it takes a lot of courage when you see, you know, so many young artists, you know, coming to town that people you don't know, but the,
right,
believing in yourself that, you know, that what you're bringing is valuable and worthy. And, from what I've heard and seen, Glenn, you are definitely valuable in what you bring to the table, and the songs are great. So why don't we play that Reassure Me There's a Window, because I think that's, you know, everybody's wanting, holding on to that, that hoping that there's a window for us to go through. And so this is Glenn Thomas with Reassure Me There's a Window on 94.5 Hippie Radio. We'll be right back, brought to you by Closets by Design.
Much going on here in this sleepy little town. The empty storefront's boarded up. The train's been long shut down. Repeating tired lines like, should we get another here? To the same old tired faces I've been running with for years. So I may not be deluded. A visions grander than this place. Reassure me there's a window that opens wider than this frame. There's a straggler on the sidewalk. He's been pacing for some time, shaking fists and shouting out, but no one pays him any mind. My dad was born around the corner, as was his and I was too. I got my feet so deeply planted here, my toes have turned to roots. So I may not be grander than this place. Reassure me there's a window that opens wider than this frame. These pictures of days that have gone by, all around me are reminders that it's time for me to try to leave so I can move on, to move so I can leave behind every trace left in this place that's holding on to me. So I may not be deluded, a vision's grander than this place. Reassure me there's a window that opens wider than this frame. Reassure me there's a window that opens wider than this frame.
You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm Greg Walden. I'm here with my co-host, John Angotti, and we're talking to artist Glenn Thomas. And that was his song, Reassure Me, There's a Window. And during the break here for the tune, you know, we were basically discussing a little bit about what it was like for you to come to this decision to make the move. You know, what reassured you that there was a window, you know, in, you know, your music career?
Well, I guess I wasn't reassured. I was just hoping to be reassured or wanting to be, because there really is none. I guess it's the faith that there is going to be something, or just believing enough to give it a go. I think what had been going on is I had been working a steady job in Rhode Island for a long time and playing gigs every weekend, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and had a, you know, a good thing going, an easy way of playing out constantly. Knew all the people booking, would get some people out to those shows. But it felt like that was sort of the ceiling of it, that if I had ambition to go further or, you know, develop my craft more, it just wasn't really happening there or gonna happen. Not that it couldn't, it just felt like the time was then to, you know, come down here or somewhere where not starting over, but just really focusing on that and not focusing on, you know, a full-time job and that be the side thing, that really just to give this my all and work on the side, of course, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big step, but, you know, I think musicians or entertainment people, athletes, you know, when you have this skill that you, you know, that you want to do something with, that you feel you're compelled to. But sometimes I think artists also feel that there are so many people trying to do the same thing that it's,
sure,
it's easy to give up.
Yeah. And I think, you know, every artist struggles with some varying degree of that, but there are plenty of reminders out there. There's not a finite number of artists. And it's okay, now there's this many, no more now. It's an ongoing thing that there's, if you can find people who like what you do and listen to it, you know, even if it's 10 people, it just, it grows or it stays there, but it's still, there are always going to be people out there who want to hear your next song. And I think if you can just remember that and focus on that, it keeps you going.
Yeah. And the songs that you write, you know, that they have such meaning, you know what I mean? They're not religious, but they have a spiritual sense to them, you know, to dig deeper into the mystery of,
sure,
of life, you know?
Yeah. I you know, I think faith is something ongoing. It's not fixed. I think, at least for me, it's something I'm always questioning or exploring or looking at from all sides. And that definitely seeps into my lyrics.
Do you think your Catholic upbringing has an effect on your writing in any way? You think that part of your...
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. In many, many ways, if not just on the surface, for the sort of, invisible force that God is, and that sort of presence that you can sort of interact with, that you can't define in a way that we can, like, you know, say the sky is blue or this tree has a trunk and leaves. It's so interpretable, that art and music are sort of the perfect way to work through that, because it's not a clear defined thing.
Where do you think, like, you know, your peers, 'cause you're in your 20s, right? You're in your,
I'll be 32, this week.
This week? What, yeah. Hey, are we going to celebrate your birthday on the Friday?
Yeah, we sure can. It'll be Tuesday, the 13th.
Oh, your birthday's Tuesday, so we may have to do a big sing happy birthday and then pass the basket.
I shouldn't have told you that.
No, that's
going to be like, oh,
the,
yeah,
concerts are free will offerings, so it's good for the people out there to say, hey, this is Glenn's birthday. Chip.
Oh, off. Sure. All right.
Yeah, support the...
Good.
Support the music.
Support,
you know,
the cause.
Support the cause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing about the concerts is to support, you know, musicians in the area and give people a chance to gather and come out of COVID. And I love,
totally.
I mean, I just saw a squirrel came around. What was my original thought where I was going with that? Oh, I know what it was. It was about people that are, you know, in your peer groups.
Yeah.
Do they, you know, because we got this new thing the other day, this statistic that said that we lost 2 million Catholics between 2019 and 2020. People are struggling with their faith. People are struggling with institutional church, you know, right, questioning things. And so people are going different ways. What do you hear in your circles of friends and colleagues and writers? And does that even come up? I'm not talking about just a Catholic. I'm just talking about faith in general. Does that
completely
come up?
I think overwhelmingly, I see most of my peers, if certainly not all, but a vast majority are spiritual and work through, you know, the spirituality thing in a multitude of ways. You know, whether people identify with certain religions, I hear sort of less than the things that are more universal to all of them, you know, questioning, looking for something beyond what we know, prayer, meditation, reflection, all the things that sort of unite religions more than, you know, divide them. And just what, you know, a moral compass looks like and where that comes from and what it points to. I think you pointed to something, the institutional aspect. I think as in such a social media, but all the sort of social movements going on in the world that people really get behind, I think, you know, sort of grappling with the institutionalized, you know, views that not just the Catholic Church, but all churches sort of have as their foundation. I think that for a lot of my peers, that would be the thing that sort of holds them back from identifying with, you know, one religion over another.
Are there any voices that you've kind of find in common that, you know, are kind of speaking to spirituality, you know, with your generation?
Voices, you mean specific artists?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a specific artist, a specific writer, you know. You know, there's always somebody, I think, that each generation really kind of locks onto because they seem to capture the space that we're in, you know, at that
right. I don't know off the top of my head who that might be or who, you know, sort of specifically embodies that. That's a good question. I sort of see it fragmented across the board, especially over the last year with, you know, the struggle of COVID. I saw more than ever my peers who maybe I wasn't expecting that, you know, journey from more openly sharing about, you know, prayer and all that, you know, with whatever their faith journey might be.
Because we were forced into a lot of solitude, right? And so
right.
What are we going to do at that time?
Yeah, you go inward.
Figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, once you sit by yourself for a while, you know, and you're talking to yourself long enough, and you shut up the head, you shut up your voice.
Exactly.
In your head that's going on. And then all of a sudden, in the silence, you know, it seems is an opportunity to reflect on where we are on the journey and really what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right. You know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like it falls on your own shoulders to make that decision. But, you know, like the world's kind of a mess today. I mean, you know, I mean, the news or whatever else you turn on, we're so divided.
Exactly.
And yet the message in the music seems to be universal. You know what I mean? It's universally like artwork. It's like it reveals the mystery in a way that goes beyond language.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, when I hear some of your stuff, I think you're speaking to those things from your perspective. So with, you know, being in COVID, and I'm sure you did a lot of writing, what's one of the songs that speaks of, you know, coming through it, the journey of it. You have one called Hail Marys. What's that?
Yeah, I wrote a song called Hail Marys early on during the this sort of shutdown. I was thinking about if the idea of people praying as sort of like a call center and just being on hold because everyone is sort of struggling, and that idea that prayers might take some extra time, even though, of course, that's not how it worked. But just the idea of that, I thought was a neat song.
And so how does the Hail Marys come into that?
So there's a line in the third verse. I try to remind myself that things are mostly fine and that prayers these days might need some extra time. Hail Marys comes on earlier on in the song. So I say Hail Marys by the tens are on the string of the rosary, hoping they reach someone or something, sort of that desperation feeling that a lot of people felt early on, and just, you know, fear and not knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Hail Marys by Glenn Thomas. You're listening to Living Real on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5.
I'm afraid I hide it pretty well, but beneath it I'm afraid that tomorrow won't look much like yesterday. Maybe that's okay. So I say Hail Marys by the tens on the string of the rosary, hoping they might reach someone or something, but they just seem to stay. So when the world goes belly up without a plan, and the words they say can't hold the weight of the pen, you gotta hold on tighter then. Come on, catch up when we can as the months keep dragging on. Tell her I miss home and seeing everyone, and try to hide my heavy heart. When the world goes belly up without a plan, the words they say can't hold the weight of the pen, you gotta hold on tighter then. Days might need some extra time.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. John Angotti here with Greg Walton and our guest today, Glenn Thomas, from Rhode Island. Is it from Kingston? What's the name of the town?
Kingston is the town that my father's church is, that URI, the Christ the King.
But you all live in, what's the name of the town?
Westerly.
Westerly. Just,
yeah,
right.
You can throw a ball from one and hit the other.
Yeah.
Like much of Rhode Island.
Westerly, Rhode Island, and across the street is Connecticut. Is that right, son?
Literally, it is across the street. We grew up, our house across the street was Connecticut. It was pretty funny.
So you mentioned that you were playing weekly, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Gigs. You know, what were you doing, covers? You know, what You know, were you able to work in original stuff? How, you know, what was that?
Yeah, it started, I was playing these places regularly, and there was, you know, your typical bar covers kind of thing. And then as they began to know me and knew of my own music, they would ask for me to start playing that stuff. So it sort of sprinkled in. By the end, I was playing primarily original music.
Yeah, so kind of building a relationship with your local audience. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like anything. Most places, if they don't know you, they're booking, in their minds, entertainment. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to show your own take on the songs or whatever that shows your personal artistry or whatever that paints a different picture for them.
So, when did you start writing songs, Glenn?
In high school. Just sort of, I think it's funny cause I'm still good friends with my guitar teacher, who started teaching me when I was 12. And he always jokes that he would have lesson plans for me, and all I would do is bring a song I wanted him to teach me. I didn't want to learn, you know, scales or this and that. I just wanted to learn how to play songs. I've always just loved, you know, the form of a song and other people's songs and all that. So I think just by extension of that, I wanted to do it myself. Yeah, I would say 15, 16 started writing my own work. It certainly wasn't great. I can tell you that.
What was the song about?
When I was in high school, who knows? Probably my crush or thinking I was going to like, you know, get my license and drive across the country and
yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh. You didn't make a cassette recording of that or anything from back in the day, did you?
Oh, I'm sure I did. Who knows where it is?
Yeah, that'd be fun to go back and listen to those things.
Yeah.
And I found a few of those things from back then, writing things about your little girlfriend and how stupid they sound today.
It's a good reminder of how far you've come with writing.
Yeah. And when you write, how do you approach writing?
Typically I'll be playing, you know, piano or guitar, and I'll just kind of sort of come on a groove or a progression or something that kind of I want to come back to and keep revisiting. And then it'll sort of hang out with me for a while and idle. And then I might already have some words going that I had written in like my iPhone notes or something, and something will say, oh, this kind of reminds me of that. Or it'll just happen from that organic place where you're sitting with that musical theme and it makes you feel a certain way and reminds you of something, and you just start writing lyrics and go from there.
So you're groove oriented first.
Yeah. 9 times out of 10, every now and then I'll, you know, hit the melody, you know, out of the blue when I'm driving or something and write to that, but primarily groove, progression.
Uh-huh. I find it interesting how each, you know, artist do it, pick a different, way to enter into the writing process.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, I wish I were more, melody first, cause I think that's a really freeing way to approach it. Primarily that doesn't happen.
I think it kind of depends on what your instrument is. You know, for me being a singer, I find, and more of a functional musician, mm-hmm. you know, and when it came to instruments, it was more freeing for me to write a melody. And then that stretched me because I would have to come up with a chord structure to work with it rather than the other way around.
Right, know, right, right.
And a more limited vocabulary. What's your primary instrument, would you say?
These days, guitar is I'm most comfortable. And I think versatile in a way. I like, you know, doing a lot of finger picking. So it's not sort of all chordal. The melody can move throughout the chords as you're moving between them.
Did you play piano first?
I did. Yeah. And I still play a lot of piano. I wish I were better, but, yeah, I'll always come back to piano.
I've always seen you. I mean, you're a great drummer too.
Well, they're similar, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like the piano connects the guitar and the drums in a sort of percussive and musical way.
They are. They're actually both percussion instruments. I mean, anything that you strike a string is actually considered.
Yeah, the piano is both. It's percussive and a string instrument.
That was always the trivia question in music that caught me up when I was a kid. That music the piano is a percussion instrument.
Yeah, and a string instrument.
Right.
Yeah, and it's because when I teach piano, that's how I teach how to do accompanying. Is if you can, I'll take the kids and put them on the drums, and give them two sticks and have them play the rhythm that they're seeing on the music.
Nice.
To get the feel, and then take them to the piano and play what they just played with the drums, and it really works, you know, to connect those two things.
Wow, you're like a really good teacher, John.
I'm just nice and funny. Yeah. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
I wish you were my music teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't have learned anything. Yeah. Who taught you piano? Did your dad? He didn't teach you, did he?
No, I'm grateful they had the foresight to hire a music teacher. I think every kid and parent's different, but I think as a kid, I would probably have resisted that a lot more.
Familiarity breeds contempt, you know, so it can make learning the instrument like feel like, oh, dad's telling me to do.
Right. Exactly. And practicing and all that, it would just never have worked. So yeah, I had a piano teacher and, it was good. I felt accountable and, you know, she was going to be mad at me if I didn't show up the next week with.
Yeah.
I got my piano teacher mad at me a couple times. I think I skipped a lesson once because she was late coming to the door. So I went skateboarding with my friends, you know.
Nice.
And then, there was a phone call to my mom later. I was in trouble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the hot seat at the next lesson, of course.
Oh, I bet.
You didn't want my mother as your piano teacher. When she passed away a couple of years ago, some of her students came to me and they said, you know, when we didn't practice, we came into your house sweating. We knew your mother was just going to be so upset. You know, my mother wasn't afraid to call the parents up and say, don't send them back.
Yeah.
You know, she was, you know, if they weren't going to practice, she was like, don't waste your time or my time and your money, you know, that kind of thing. And, but I find we're at a piano players are on a downward slide. I don't know how many, you know, it seems like there's more, a lot of guitar players and stuff, but piano's difficult. You know, the learning curve for piano is hard, that you really have to stick with it, I think, for a number of years and
big time
to grasp it. And today, you know, everybody wants everything right now. Gotta have it right now. And, you know, learning the skill of that, like for example, organists for churches, that's a dinosaur.
Totally.
You know, that's an extinction that's happening because of the effort that it takes to learn it on the front end.
Right.
And so if, you know, it's tough when I remember as a kid, I didn't want to take piano lessons. And I looked at my mother and I was probably about 14 or 13. I said, I hate this stuff. And she looked at me, she said, you don't know what you like. You're a teenager, get in there and practice, you know. But today, like my kids, they don't play because they did the same thing to me and just harping and harping and saying, I don't like this, I hate this. Finally, you just give up, right?
Yeah.
And then you give up and then it's lost. You know, that there's something about having it to keep with that in order to gain that skill.
My mom didn't let me quit. She let my brother and sister kind of say, okay, you're going to try this until so many years and then I'll give the option.
Yeah.
And she was so mad that she didn't end up with the musician out of the two of them that she said, no, not going to happen with me.
So if any parents out there are struggling with their kids playing piano lessons, make sure they call me or Greg. And we'll straighten them up. We'll make sure that they keep playing.
Keep them on the path.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think in some ways it's like coaching today too. You got to coach differently than you did. Our coaches yelled at us and screamed at us and these days, if you yell and scream at some of these kids, they shut down and they don't perform at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's
true.
There's a different way of coaching. I think there's a different way of teaching perhaps in order to, make sure that, you know, we meet people where they are in learning. And I think that might be even the case when it comes to things like faith. No longer can you force feed kids to say, you got to do this without some type of story or why this is important or what it means to you on the front end. Because, you know, you were talking earlier, Glenn, about, you know, your generation and how they're, you know, I think they're searching. I think people are searching.
Right.
And looking for an answer to a mystery that has no answer.
Right.
Which makes it a very difficult thing. So then I think, you know, as a society, we have to look and say, well, who do you trust?
Right.
Who's telling you the truth in, you know, from your history, from where you are, what do you see? And then at the end of the day, you have to gather all this stuff and make your own decision or write a song about it. One or the other.
Yeah.
You know, and, anyway, so I think, you know, what you're doing with your music, like the experience that people are going to have this coming Friday, what kind of experience can they experience at the Glenn Thomas concert?
It's not prayer per se, but I think, what I do with my songs is I try to go to those places that are universal experiences, whether it's struggle, whether it's reflecting on the great things that we have or, you know, happen to all of us in life. That's really like what the songs ultimately explore. So I, you know, through the band, we'll honor the songs and it'll be a great time.
Yeah. And, what's like, say your favorite song, that you've written that you would want to share?
A thing I always try to do is write a song if it's on guitar or piano that I can't play yet. So I'm sort of, as I'm trying to learn what the song is going to be, it's, something that's a challenge for me because then it keeps it fun to come back to and play. And one of those songs that I love to play is All You Can Do. It's a cool finger picking motif that, kind of follows a basic up and down scale, but the sort of finger picking pattern is really fun to play. And it was challenging. It took me a long time to sort of get it down with the rhythm and then singing on top of that. And lyrically, it sort of just follows this idea of it's all you can do when, you know, you don't have control over the situation or everything that's thrown at you. Just stepping back and saying, if I'm doing the best I can be doing in this situation, that's about all I can be doing.
Yeah, well, that's great, because really at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
That's right.
So
that's
here's Glenn Thomas with All You Can Do.
On Living Real, Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5.
Brought to you by Closets by Design. We'll be right back with Glenn Thomas. Here's All You Can Do.
Sycamore sways in spite of its weight, like unmanned words that you can't unsay. Past days hang in a frame on the wall, constantly come to pass, but they still linger on. Cries for the everyman and cries for the law, cries for the ones who have given up. Prayers will be said, but they work too slow when you have to fix the things that someone else broke. It's all you can do. 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 I looked to the crowd and I felt so small. I have to wonder why I even worry at all. Got the tools in a box and I planned a game, but the bartender winks and I order the same.
all you can do. It's all you can do. It's all you can do. It's all you can do. Secondhand premonitions can't solve the world in a day. Keep keeping on with the thinking, but I still don't know what to say. I can paddle like the rain or rust like the flood. All that's gonna be left are the things you've done. So say one for me and I'll say one for you. Cheers to trying to make it through. It's all you can do. It's all you can do. It's all you can do. It's all you can do.
Listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with Greg Walton. I'm John Ngadi, and today's guest is Glenn Thomas. Just heard the song All You Can Do. And Glenn is from Rhode Island. He will be giving a concert of our concert series, Concerts in the Courtyard, this Friday, July the 16th at 7 p.m. here at St. Philip in downtown Franklin. And we appreciate that Glenn's going to be coming here, sharing his gifts and his talents with his original music. So we hope you all come down and visit us. We will also be celebrating Glenn's birthday.
That's right.
So bring presents or cash. Geez.
Right. All you can do. So, like, you know, what is all that you're going to be doing this next year, Glenn? You know,
just writing and recording. Really, I found during the pause of live music that I was in many ways more happy with music because there wasn't an expectation or a pressure to be constantly playing live or anything like that. So, just sort of hoping to stay in some of that moment where, just writing and recording at home a lot. Mm-hmm.
What's your avenue for getting the music out? I mean, right now you're independent.
The album, I had like a big, sort of worked really hard on getting that out and sent it to a bunch of press outlets and stuff. And, really took time to do that right in my mind, press some vinyl and stuff. But I think it's so easy to just get music out to people that now you can kind of just release it and tell people it's out there. And if they're listening, then, it'll reach them.
You find it's hard because music's free. Like, you know, if you put out it on YouTube or something, anybody can grab it and, you know,
It's weird because I think if I didn't have that, like, you know, if people weren't streaming or there wasn't the internet, I might sell CDs at shows, but it's a trade-off because now that there is that worldwide audience, I'm reaching a lot of people that I never would have before. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. I just, you know, how to... For an artist like yourself that's got this skill, you know, with there's no product to sell,
right?
Because music's all in the air, basically digital format. That I encourage people to visit, because you're on iTunes, all the Spotify's, all that kind of stuff,
yep,
downloadable,
yep, all that.
And to go download your music and support the artists who are really trying to make a difference. I think there's some artists out there that just want to be famous for whatever reason they want to be famous, but when I hear your songs, they make a difference. What do you want out of for your music career? Where's your goal? When you look at it and say, okay, this is what I dreamed. Like when you came to Nashville, what was the dream?
I guess just to get up every morning and make music and have people out there who want to hear that next song that I write. If I can play a few big, not arenas or anything of that nature. I like, small, intimate theater club venues. Ultimately I think I have a lot of the things I want when I work with writers. I feel like an equal to a lot of writers, and I think I don't have delusions of grandeur that I'll be an arena artist, because that's a certain kind of music that mine certainly is not. It's more of a personal thing, and the people who like it, I really appreciate the heck out of them, and hope that number grows.
Are you seeing your audience grow by your followers and things of that nature?
Oh yeah, big time. Since moving here, it's been pretty humbling, and kind of what we talked about before, how it's a trade-off that music is free, but on the other hand, I can see on the map of the world that people in European countries and Asian countries are, it's just really kind of cool to see that.
Do you do your own social media stuff, or do you have somebody helping you?
I do all that.
Yep,
that's a beautiful thing.
That's what got me my job at St. Philip, doing electronic communication, because I had to spend so much time as an artist figuring it out.
Right. Yeah, no, it's so true. And that's, that's a whole other conversation of now being an artist. It's not just the music. You have to do all these other things, which
you got to be an influencer at the same time.
Yeah.
I wish that weren't the case. So, but
yeah. Yeah. Everything you say now is recorded.
That's another thing.
But I think you're doing a great job. And
no, I appreciate that.
I've always been a fan, even, just a fan of you, as Glenn Thomas, and the man that you have become. And I hope people come out and hear you on Friday and get there. Are you going to be telling stories with your songs about?
Yeah, I like to, keep it real and talk about what I was looking at when I wrote something, and there's some stories alongside the songs as well.
Yeah. And you're bringing a full band, right? You're bringing it. Well, it's going to be you and
a small trio, some pedal steel and.
Okay.
Well, sweet.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
We're going to be live streaming it too.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So you can live stream it as well if you want on Friday as well, but we're going to be live streaming. Glenn, what song do you want to leave us with?
The Shy Hinges. That's the one. If the river runs low, I'll swim before I drown. I built this home to stand tall, Shy Hinges and all.
Sweet.
All right.
Well, here's Shy Hinges from Glenn Thomas's album, Reassure Me There's a Window. That was released last year. And that's also available in vinyl. Did I hear that?
It is, yeah. And I'll have some vinyl and CDs at the show on Friday. So if people want
Fantastic.
To take home a record.
Fantastic, yeah. Right. So thanks for joining us, Glenn. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you both.
Yeah, guys. And we'll see everybody hopefully here on Friday.
Yeah.
So God bless. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. Here is
Glenn Thomas, Shy Hinges.
did I ever tell you how much I loved you? If not, here's a toast to that and the things I never did to. It's just that Poseidon is not on your mind when Dionysus slowly disrobes and crawls into your bed. Well, I found myself on roads I swore that I'd never travel down, and I've drawn tired fists in the alleys of this town. But when the river gets low, you can bet I'll swim before I drown. I've built this home to stand tall, shy hinges and all. Of all that I could take my grave, the only thing I'll bring along with me is the cleanest of slate. Well, I found myself on roads I swore that I'd never travel down, and I've drawn tired fists in the alleys of this town. Shy hinges and all. All that I could take with me to my grave, the only thing I'll bring along with me is the cleanest of slates. I found myself on roads I swore that I'd never travel down, and I've drawn tired fists in the alleys of this town. When the river gets low, you can bet I'll swim. Built this home to stand tall, shy hinges and bolts. I built this home to stand tall, shy hinges and bolts. And
been listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host John Angotti, Greg Walton, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.